from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. August 31st. 10 in health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from By the Numbers, forget more reservoirs. Should the UK just build desalination plants instead? The UK is facing a water supply challenge, especially with a projected deficit of 5 billion litres per day by 2050. While building new reservoirs has been the traditional approach, some are suggesting desalination plants as an alternative. Desalination uses energy to convert seawater into drinking water, and while it seems energy intensive, recent data shows it could add only about 2% to the UK's electricity demand. Currently, the UK has one desalination plant, Beckton, which has faced operational issues and hasn't been reliable during droughts. Future plants are expected to face lengthy planning processes, similar to reservoirs. Cost-wise, desalination is around 20% more expensive to build than reservoirs, but initial costs can be misleading. The UK's desalination costs are higher than in other countries due to limited experience and intermittent usage. Ultimately, while desalination could help fill the water gap, its effectiveness and reliability are concerns. The current infrastructure struggles to operate when needed, raising questions about whether it's a viable long-term solution compared to investing in leak repairs and efficiency improvements. Next, second from Manga Bay. Lost for 170 years, rare plant recorded in Sri Lanka. Researchers recently rediscovered a rare plant species, Indianthus virgatus, in Sri Lanka after it was last seen there in 1855. This plant, which has small white flowers and thrives in the understory of wet tropical forests, is critically endangered and was thought to be possibly extinct in the wild in Sri Lanka. The team used historical records and habitat modeling to locate potential sites in Sabaraganuwa province, ultimately finding a small population of 70 to 100 individuals along the Sitawaka Ganga River. This discovery is significant, as I. virgatus is the only species in its genus and has a unique distribution across the Indian subcontinent and Sri Lanka. The researchers, including Vivek Pandey from Manipal Academy of Higher Education, noted that the plant's populations are separated by large geographical gaps, raising interesting questions about its evolution and biogeography. This finding not only highlights the importance of conservation efforts, but also opens up new avenues for understanding the species' history and ecological needs. Up next, third from FIES.org, the SKA Project, a model for dialogue between historical astronomical archives, local memory, and modern science. The SKA Project highlights how historical astronomical records, local cultural memories, and contemporary science can come together. For millennia, humans have looked to the sky, not just out of curiosity, but for practical reasons, like tracking time and guiding agricultural practices. This long-standing relationship with the cosmos has shaped our understanding of the universe. The project aims to bridge the gap between ancient observations and modern scientific inquiry, showing that what we now consider advanced fields like cosmology and astrophysics are just the latest developments in a rich tradition of sky watching and interpretation. It's a fascinating blend of history and science, reminding us that our quest for knowledge is deeply rooted in our past. And then, fourth from Science Alert, coffee drinkers have less fat, more muscle, and surprising sex hormone differences. A recent study from Finland suggests that coffee drinkers may have less body fat and more muscle mass, despite similar BMI scores. Researchers analyzed data from over 2,200 participants, focusing on how coffee consumption relates to metabolic health and hormones. They found that men who drank more coffee had better glucose-insulin profiles and higher testosterone levels, while women showed weaker associations. Interestingly, higher coffee intake was linked to lower levels of branched chain amino acids because, which are associated with poorer metabolic health when elevated. This study highlights the potential benefits of coffee on metabolism, but it's cross-sectional, meaning it only captures a snapshot in time. More long-term research is needed to understand the causal relationships and the specific compounds in coffee that contribute to these effects. Next, fifth from Overcoming Bias. Aliens are not crazy unlikely. Astrobiologists have long held a cautious stance on the existence of life beyond Earth, often requiring extraordinary evidence to support such claims. However, recent findings, particularly from Mars, suggest that life might not be as rare as previously thought. For instance, the Perseverance rover discovered mineral formations on Mars that hint at past biological activity, challenging the idea that we need to set an impossibly high standard for evidence of extraterrestrial life. Historically, there have been various claims of life signs and meteorites and on Mars, yet many remain disputed. Some researchers argue that the likelihood of life starting on Mars is quite high, given its geological history. This perspective shifts the burden of proof, suggesting that we might already have enough evidence to consider the existence of life beyond Earth more probable than not. The conversation extends to UFOs, where over 80 years of reports indicate objects behaving in ways that defy our current understanding of technology. While skepticism is healthy, the evidence surrounding these sightings is often more compelling than that for other accepted phenomena. The reluctance to accept UFOs as potentially alien stems from societal and intellectual biases, rather than a lack of credible evidence. In both cases, extraterrestrial life and UFOs, there's a tendency among intellectuals to dismiss claims due to their extraordinary nature. Yet, the statistical likelihood of these phenomena suggests we should be more open to the possibility. Ultimately, the conversation about life beyond Earth and the nature of UFOs challenges our beliefs and the status quo, inviting us to reconsider what we deem possible. Up next, sixth from the iWall, Invest97L inching closer to something more formal Sunday evening. Invest97L is showing some potential to develop into a depression, or even a named storm, as it moves closer to the Texas and Louisiana coasts. The National Hurricane Center has raised the odds of this happening to about 70%, but it feels more like 90% for a depression and 60-70% for a named storm. This system has surprisingly held its own overnight, which is a good sign for further organization. Model forecasts suggest it will make landfall near Port Arthur or High Island, Texas, by Tuesday afternoon. Residents along the upper Texas coast, especially from Baytown to Cameron Parish, should prepare for heavy rain, gusty winds, and possible coastal flooding. Smaller systems like this can intensify quickly, so it's wise to stay alert and ready. There's also an increasing concern about flash flooding, particularly north of Houston and east of I-35. Rainfall totals are expected to rise, especially in the triangle area between Beaumont, College Station, and Lufkin. It's a situation to keep an eye on as we head into the next couple of days. And then, 7th from Carlita Shaw, playing music with the Wild, the Birth of Interspecies Acoustics. This article is a historical overview built from archive recordings, interviews with the musicians, and documented grant and nonprofit records. It traces how a handful of 1970s artists, Salon Hoffenis, Judy Collins, Paul Winter, and especially Jim Nolman began weaving whale, dolphin, and other animal sounds into orchestral and folk pieces after hydrophone recordings became available. Nolman's work went beyond studio collage. He built underwater speakers, played live blues riffs for orcas, and even tried to guide gray whales out of ice using music, though the whales only listened without moving. By the late 80s, he founded a nonprofit to connect artists with wildlife, documenting decades of interspecies duets that blend human improvisation with animal vocalizations. Next, 8th from New Atlas, Alzheimer's Hope. Nanoparticles regenerate cells to restore memory. Researchers at the University of South Carolina have made some intriguing progress in the fight against Alzheimer's disease. They conducted a study using nanoparticles designed to stimulate the growth of new brain cells. In their experiments with animals, just one injection of this treatment was enough to reverse cognitive decline, which is really promising. While this is a single study, and we need to be cautious about jumping to conclusions, the results suggest that there might be a way to regenerate neurons in the brain, potentially offering hope for those affected by neurodegenerative conditions. It's still early days, but the idea of restoring memory through this method is exciting. As always, it's important to remember that what works in animals doesn't always translate directly to humans. More research will be needed to see if this approach can be effective in people, but it's a step in a hopeful direction, and I'll be keeping an eye on how this develops. Up next, 9th from Inverse Science. Why did lanterns change John Stewart's origin story? Tom King reveals the reason. Lanterns has kept viewers on their toes with its timeline-hopping story, which takes us back and forth between 2016 and the present day. But even by 2016, Lanterns dropped us in the middle of Hal Jordan, Kyle Chandler, and John Stewart's Aaron Pierre story, following the unlikely duo as they investigate a potential alien invasion in Rushville, Nebraska. At this point, Hal Jordan is already well into his career as Earth's Green Lantern with the fight with one of his biggest foes behind him, and has reluctantly taken on John Stewart as his apprentice to eventually take on the mantle. And then, 10th from FICE.org, using data to help wheat growers adapt to unpredictable weather. For generations, wheat planting has followed predictable seasonal patterns. But this year, unseasonably warm weather in March and April accelerated wheat growth, pushing the crop into a vulnerable growth stage when widespread freezing temperatures hit. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.